in today's Matthew 26, we will get to Jesus starting communion and the Last Supper. And then after we have a sermon about Jesus starting communion, we'll have communion. There will be a few more verses, to verse 17. The first part of Matthew 26 talks about Judas, his greed and betrayal. So please come to Matthew 26, and we'll take a look about Judas and his betrayal. 1 and 2. When Jesus had finished all these words, he said to all his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is to be handed over to crucifixion." He's repeating he's going to die on a cross. He already told them that he would not be king at his first coming, but that he would die on the cross. He would be killed in the Roman way of doing so. We could go back in Matthew, back to chapter 20 is one of the places. Jesus was not yet even in Jerusalem. He was on the way, but he was not yet in the city limits. And he told them that he would not be king, that he would die on the cross and rise again on the third day. But then in Matthew 20, they don't say anything about that. The disciples, James and John, immediately get their mom to go talk with Jesus. "Who will sit on your right hand and on your left hand in the kingdom?" So he says he's going to die on the cross. It's kind of like no interest in that. Or that must be a mistake even. But they immediately go up and say, "Who's going to be the greatest in your kingdom?" Here again, Jesus says he's going to die on the cross. And we have a different apostle, Judas. Judas didn't want to be on the left or the right. Judas wanted to be the secretary of treasury in the coming kingdom. It will talk about him again in verses 14 through 16. About being a betrayer. It says 2 days before the Passover. Usually the Last Supper is thought of as being Thursday evening. And the chief priests, Judas has not come yet, but the chief priests are already making their plan. Let's look at verses 3 through 5. "Then the chief priests and elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest named Caiaphas. They plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they were saying, not during the festival, otherwise a riot might occur among the people." We call it in modern language behind closed doors. Usually political decisions should not be made behind closed doors. In our country, the political decisions ought to be made in the Capitol building, not in a house. The same was true in those days. They should be going into the temple to have a meeting. It seems like the chief priests and the Sadducees want to meet in their house, and probably not all were invited. The full Sanhedrin was 70 people. Joseph of Arimathea were later want Jesus' body, so I assume he was already a Christian. He was not invited to this private meeting in a house, not in the temple. Nicodemus, it never says he was in the Sanhedrin, but says he was the teacher of the Jews. So like the professor of theology in Israel, he's not invited. So they're kind of having a meeting, but it's not in the proper place, and they're not going to invite everybody to come to it. They want Jesus to die, but not now. They just had the Palm Sunday parade. They just heard the children crying out to Jesus. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There were many people who had seen Lazarus rise from the dead in the parade route, and he was there in the city. They listened to Lazarus come forth, and Jesus also said, unbind him and let him go. Parallel here would be John chapter 11, verse 45 and following. What are we going to do? This man does many signs. Caiaphas, high priest, answered, you know nothing at all. Do you not take into account that it is expedient for one man to die for the people, let the whole nation not perish? So they have a select committee of yes men. They meet in a house, not in a temple, and they knew Jesus could do miracles. They knew that if they didn't do something, he was going to take away their authority, but they knew he could do miracles. That's quite amazing that Jesus' enemies admitted he could do miracles. I've used that a time or two with people that have big doubts in Jesus' power and say something like, well, even his enemies said he could do miracles. Caiaphas here is also outside the Bible. Caiaphas is mentioned in the ancient Jewish history book of Josephus. Also, we have Caiaphas's box of bones. His bones are gone, but it says on the outside of it that it says it was his name, and it was his ossuary or bone box. Jesus did miracles, but we want to kill him, get rid of him. He's going to take our power away, but can't do it on Palm Sunday week. Too popular. Now, the disciples weren't listening too much to Jesus was going to die. They wanted to know who was going to get the right hand and left hand. But we have in here a story about a lady who was listening, and she heard Jesus say he was going to die. So she brings in this expensive perfume to put on his head. Verses 6 through 13. When Jesus was in Bethany, at the home of Simon the leper, a man came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it out on his head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this, and they said, why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume to my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever in this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be spoken in memory of her. Luke 7 has a parallel about a woman putting tears on Jesus' feet. And she had been sinful in the past. Matthew 26 gives a different account. Perfume, not tears. Head, not feet. A different place, a different time. John 11 and 12 gives more details. It says at the close of John chapter 11, Jesus would no longer walk among the Jews. That doesn't mean Israelite people, but the Jews would mean the Jewish leaders. He was all done. He told them all that he was going to tell them. So he went to his own supporters. He went to the home of Mary of Bethany. Well, they're really well known. They must have been fairly rich people to have expensive perfume like this. So we often have in the Bible poor, but he is showing an example of rich people also need forgiveness, and rich people can be saved, and rich people can worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas was the only apostle not from Galilee. He was from Judea. It says in John 12, verse 6, he was a thief. He took what was out of the money box. So Judas objected to this perfume being put on Jesus, memory that he would be dying soon. She's the only one that paid attention to it. Now, it's not here his name, but it gives about the disciples were wondering about it. But the actual name is in Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 5, Judas. Why was not this perfume sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? That's a lot of money. I haven't looked into perfume lately. I would never pay that much money for it because this is 300 days' wages. That's almost a year's wages to buy perfume with. I think one time I saw perfume at an airport in London, and it was very expensive. I think it was $65,000. I thought, that's crazy. They must be finding people who can fly all over the world and pay that much for it. But here was like nearly a year's wage. Now, the amount of money in John chapter 12 is given 300 pieces of silver. And Mary of Bethany was her name. No name is given here. One of the possibilities no name is given here is that she could have still been in danger. But the Gospel of Matthew was written so early that Caiaphas or Caiaphas' friends still might have harmed her if her name was out. And so no name is given here. It is also often believed that Matthew and Mark are written a little earlier. John is a little later, but still doesn't have to be real late because we're talking about how long Caiaphas had power. And he quit ruling in AD 36. We don't know how much longer he lived. But no name here because probably a very early gospel. And it says her name would be remembered, but that's in the Gospel of John. It gives us her name, but Jesus kind of knew it would get put in the Gospel of John. Jesus had apostles that were men, but he had quite a few women disciples. And here's a story of she was listening, he's going to die, the others were not listening. Luke chapter 8 has names. Joanna, Susanna, Mary of Bethany had paid attention that Jesus was going to die, and that's why there is this story. The poor, it says, you will have with you always, and that kind of can be applied that the church doesn't have to give away all the money to people who say they're poor. Now, we would help church members first and highest and most. So, if we know that any of you have real needs and know you've been laid off and know you don't have it, we will ask about it and tell us the truth. I think, though, that people that come by, they're hard to figure out. Some of them are telling the truth. Some of them are con artists and lying, and it would spend days trying to figure out who's lying and who is not lying. So typically with non-members, smaller amounts of money and food out of the pantry, and I'm getting too old to drive around town and do it. I've been doing it for a long time. Drive around town and deliver toilet paper when I'm trying to make sermons. So the poor you have with you always, and Jesus is saying, might not need to do everything for them. And sometimes money can be used on things that are optional. In this case, it was a funeral ceremony. But sometimes the church can spend money on things that maybe are optional. So we have good things also. Now we get to back to Judas Iscariot. In the Gospel of John, Judas Iscariot was already in here. Why wasn't this sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Now in Matthew 26:14, it goes back to Judas Iscariot. Verse 14. Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said to them, what are you willing to give me to betray him to you? And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver. From then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. It says in verse 14 that Judas was one of the 12. And that will help in the next story about the Last Supper, because the 12 were all there at the Last Supper. He was from Judea, not a Galilean like all the rest of them. Iscariot, Ish is man of, citizen of, a town called Cariot, which you have to look up in Bible maps, encyclopedias, because it's not Jerusalem. It's just a little bitty town out in the middle of nowhere. It says 18 miles northeast of Beersheba. He didn't get 300 pieces of silver. Didn't get that perfume, but he will betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, a month's wage. Everybody makes a little bit different amount, so I don't know what to say a month's wage is, but we'll kill Jesus and we'll give you $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 if you turn him in. So he didn't get the 300 silver pieces, but he will turn them in for 30. Zechariah talks about 30 pieces of silver in the Old Testament. That was the price of a slave in Zechariah. So Jesus was worth the price of a slave to the high priest and to Judas. So one day's wage is a denarius. Here's 30 days' wages. He is worth what a slave would be worth to you. A Judas will go to the Last Supper. And he will start, but he will run out. They think he's going to go buy some more things, but Jesus will say to him, what you're going to do, do quickly. So now we turn over to the Last Supper section. It begins in verses 17 through 19. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? They said to them, go into a city, a certain man, and say to him, the teacher says to you, my time is near. I'm going to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. The disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. It says the first day of unleavened bread. Unleavened would be a whole week. There's a whole week of unleavened bread, and the Passover day is in this week. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have the Passover or the Last Supper on Thursday evening. In more traditional churches, Monday, Thursday. So you have Last Supper on Thursday evening, then Good Friday, then Easter Sunday. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have Last Supper on Thursday night. But the Gospel of John writes that the chief priests would not enter Pilate's Gentile house because they would be defiled for eating the Passover on Friday. So you have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Passover on Thursday night. John, Passover on Friday. In fact, from the Talmud, we think they would kill the lambs at 3 o'clock on Friday. So right at the time Jesus was giving up the spirit is the time that they would be killing the Judean Passover lambs. So it is believed that the Galileans probably had Passover on Thursday night. And the Judeans, the chief priests, would have Passover the next day, starting to kill the lambs at 3 o'clock, and then get ready and cook for dinner. And that would explain why the Judean chief priests would not go inside of Pilate's house. Thursday night for the Galileans, Friday for the Judeans. The Gospel of Mark is longer on this account. It's probably giving Peter's memory to Mark, and Peter remembered a lot about it, so, you know, a little bit longer. Jesus sent two disciples ahead. You will see a man carrying a water pitcher. He's carrying the water around. Follow him to a large upper room. Tell him that the master has need of this room. Acts 1:13 tells of another upper room. Could it be the same place? Because if in Acts 1:13, the upper room in Acts 1, if that's the same as the place of the Last Supper, then it is Mark's mother's house. That's not entirely certain, but it kind of makes sense. It's possible that the Passover was at Mark's mother's house, and that they owned the upper room. And that's why Mark writes down Peter's memory of this place and makes it a lot longer. Matthew's account is a little bit shorter, but he does detail all of the events and all of the quotes now about the Last Supper and about communion being started. Verse 20. When it was evening, Jesus was reclined at the table with his 12 disciples. As they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." Being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to him, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered, "He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is about to go just as is written of him." Old Testament, lamb to the slaughter, Isaiah 53. "Just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be good for that man if he had never been born." And Judas, who was betraying him, said, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." Jesus said to him, "You said it. You have said it yourself." As they were reclining, we eat at tables, but the Middle Age picture of the Last Supper is not right. They did not eat at tables. They would lay down on mats. The food was set before them on trays. But laying down in mats explains about washing the disciples' feet. Laying down on cushions explains their side to side, and Apostle John right next to Jesus could hear him talking better. So the apostles had John asking Jesus, "Lord, who is it?" This beloved disciple right next to Jesus will be the author of the book of John. He was an eyewitness. Jesus had washed Judas's feet. He said in John, "You are clean, but not all of you." He actually said that twice. He said it in John 13:10 and John 13:18. I did not speak of all of you as being clean. That the scripture might be fulfilled, he who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. Sounds like kicking on him or wanting to fight. Psalm 41, it was David's advisor Ahithophel that betrayed David and sided with a rebellious Absalom. And in Psalm 41, Ahithophel hung himself. And Jesus is saying that this is a parallel to Judas. And in Matthew 27, Judas will eventually hang himself. Dipping in a bowl. Now they had flat bread. That's the morsel in the Gospel of John, flat bread. And then they had a bowl, they call it sop, but it's like bitter herbs. Edersheim, the Jewish rabbi, very good at the Talmud, became a Christian and wrote a book on the life of Jesus. He said that sop was lettuce, parsley, salt water, vinegar, all very sour, but then add dates and raisins. It's kind of like sweet and sour. Kind of strange. Lettuce, parsley, salt water, vinegar, dates and raisins. Oh, here's some of the sop. What you do, do quickly. But also here, better if you had never been born. Judas lied, it is not I. And Jesus said, you said it. You said it yourself. So he got his gooey stuff out of the sop, out of the bowl, but he was not taking communion. So he started, but he never did take communion. Communion continues with the last part of the Last Supper. That's verses 26 through 30. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Passover meal was longer than we just had the Last Supper. The Last Supper is the end of it. The cup that Jesus took is probably cup number 3. Cup number 4 was when they would sing. So cup number 4 is verse 30. Cup number 3 would be verse 27. In the Catholic view of communion, communion becomes the body of Jesus. Well, that's not really possible. Jesus said, it is finished, John 19:30. And Book of Hebrews, that he would die once for all. So it's not possible that the communion is the actual body and blood of Jesus, and that taking it is like taking in Jesus and getting salvation. That's the Catholic view of it. It's called transubstantiation. The Lutheran view of communion is that Jesus is spiritually present in communion. Jesus is not literally dying again every communion Sunday, but Jesus is present in the communion spiritually. That's the Lutheran view. Jesus is present where two or three are gathered in his name. Jesus is present inside of every believer who is here. So, personally, I think Martin Luther had something. Not sure it has to be that way, but Jesus could be specially, spiritually present in communion as he is spiritually present where two or three are gathered to worship him. The Reformed view or Presbyterian view is that it is only immemorial. It is a memorial, as we would read, "Do this in remembrance of me," both Luke 22 and 1 Corinthians 11. So communion is a memorial, and that's the Reformed or Presbyterian view, but then we wonder if it isn't more than a memorial, and that view is optional. It's a memorial, but is Jesus specially present in communion, like he is specially present inside each one of us, and he's specially present where two or three are gathered. They sang a hymn and went out. These are the Hallel songs, most likely. Psalm 113 to 118. They're going to go out. They're going to go out to the garden. Judas will know where they are going. He will be on his way to get the soldiers to arrest Jesus. The musicians, please come.